Hello, my darlings. This is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation, and got lots to talk about today. So much to talk about. Third episode. Very excited about it. There's a big Candace Owens banger that just came out recently. I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about Gordmikit, the etymology of this this catchphrase that you're going to be hearing from me a lot in my online videos. Because it's a great story, and it's a good catchphrase because I don't want to just do meaningless catchphrases. We're not going to just do this is a comedy corporation. We're not going to do meaningless, like, just like, oh, dingo, dingo. Like, it's not, Gordmikit. That's a good, it's a meaty catchphrase, is what I'm saying. So anyway, I'll tell you where it came from. Actually, I explained it pretty good on stage yesterday, and people got it. So I might just drop that clip in here.
I do find, though, that some of the shadiest people I've ever met are religious, and that scares me. You guys notice that?
Yeah.
We got, like, so when I was in India, there was like this con artist in our family, like a con artist, right? And he had the best con, but whenever he got caught, he had the best lie. It was so funny. He just goes, he would do this, okay? So let's say you're buying something for like $50 for whatever, right? He would just go and be like, oh, you're paying $50 for that? I can get that for $30, man. You want me to get it for you? And then he'll take your $30, and then he'll just leave. For like a week, right? And most people are too embarrassed to be like, hey, you took my money, right? Because you're getting embarrassed. You got scammed, right? But if you ever push him, you know what his excuse was? I don't know if anyone's going to get this as new, but his excuse, he'd be like, hey, where's my money? He'd be like, oh, Gordmikit. And he would just say, his excuse was Gordmikit. But his thing was like, because everyone believes in God, so like, wait, listen, God is great, right? We can agree on that?
Okay,
God has a plan, right? Okay, so if I have the money now, that's part of... Gordmikit. That's it.
There's some people who believe that the Western world is blessed by God. It's ordained by God. And not all conservatives. It's like 20-30%, maybe. Or whatever. There is a religious, and not even strictly a religious, but also another faction, and it's mostly right-wing, I think, and they all kind of have this belief that it justifies whatever problems we have with capitalism with kind of a, oh, Gordmikit kind of mentality, meaning, like, the game is the game. Because I think right-wing people in general have an attitude of, like, the game is the game, baby. You know, like, if I'm rich and you're poor, right? Because there is this belief in a meritocracy. Like, if you work hard, you can rise up. And that's the game. When I say the game is the game, I'm talking about capitalism is the game. And the game is the game. And here's the rules. And you can play, and you can come up. Or you can... And if you don't come up, it's probably because you didn't play right. And so you just have to be poor. And that feels a little bit like... And I don't want to alienate the right-wing people, and I don't want to generalize. But that feels a little bit like the morality on the right-wing team. If you talk anything about helping poor people or fixing the environment or fixing whatever, they just kind of say, the game is the game, baby. Gordmikit game. Gordmikit. This game is a Gordmikit game. And whoever plays the best wins, and we're playing the best, so we win. And all this going back and helping whoever, like whatever little mistakes here and there, Gordmikit. That's it. Like, that's kind of the mentality if you're religious or if you have a belief that, like, this is the... And when I say Gordmikit, you don't literally believe in God. Some people literally believe in God on the right-wing team. But then a lot of people do, I guess, on the right-wing team. But then a lot of people just feel like this is the Western world. Capitalism works best. Might is right. Might is right, but this capitalism, it's the best version of might. You don't want to physically fight each other. We just fight each other in the market, and if you end up poor, then that's Gordmikit. Gordmikit. It's a little bit like that. And it's the same justification I find used when even when you talk about like any kind of reparations, or if you talk about colonialism. Like, I was just I remember years ago, like, I was raised conservative, and I remember years ago someone was telling me about how these crown jewels are in India, and shouldn't we get them back? And I'm just like, you gotta let that go, dude. You know what I'm saying? Even as a brown person. But if you think about it, I'm technically brown, but I'm basically white. I'm in Canada, born and raised here, so I'm on this side of it. So I'm kind of like, I'm thinking that's like a first, for whatever reason, when I first heard it, like I'm talking about 15, 20 years ago, when I first heard someone tell me about this colonialism and tell me that it was basically, and I've heard historians say this, where colonialism is basically like steroids for these European countries, because as soon as you take another country, you start getting jacked up. You start getting rich. You start getting, just beautiful. Like you're just, as a country, you're like walking around in a fur coat almost all the time. It's almost like when you go to Europe. The first time I went to Europe, I was like shocked at how beautiful it was, because being raised in Canada, I always felt like I'm the prince. I thought I am prince of Canada. Like I thought we were the top shit until I went to Europe. I thought Canada was the top shit until I went to Europe. Because in Canada, what you do is every now and then we'd go to the States, and whenever we drove over to the States, we would always be like, why is this place a dump? These guys are the number one people? This is the top dog, is this? These guys are number one. Every time we drove over, we'd always hit like 2-3 points in every American trip. We'd drive over and be like, these guys are the winners? These guys are the top people? This is the top people. Okay, cool. And then eventually, like it's just grimy sometimes. Even when I went to New York, I was like, I go to New York and I'm like, why did I leave India? It's a dump. Are you kidding me, dude? I get it, man. Like you got that hustle and you got to work and, you know, and maybe I'm being lazy and I just don't want to go and live in a closet. But my God, dude, why did the Lord put me here so that I could sit? Man, I was in the subway in New York and they would slow down and honk a horn on the subway and people would get out of the way. And then the subway just went at like 5 kilometers an hour for like, I mean, like in Canada, we would shut that down. We'd have a bus upstairs. I mean, we'd have systems in place. Even when you go to England, I remember when I first went to England. I really got embarrassed about Canada when I first went to England. And I went on the tube, and I came downstairs on the thing. And there's a guy there with like a yellow thing. And I don't know if they still have this. And he had like these yellow gloves. And he was like there. And he's like, "Oh, you all right? Is everything all right? You all right?" Like he just came to be like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, and I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm good. Is there like an emergency? Something happened?" And then he just goes, "Nate, just here to make sure everyone's all right." They had an extra guy just hanging out. And they had him every like, just, I'm on the subway thing, and they had like 5 of them. At one stop, they had like 3 of them at one stop. They just had a guy be like, "Are you all right? Is everything all right?" Can you imagine the TTC? When people come from England and we get on the TTC subway, I'm just like, we look like idiots. Come on. Like if the subway's taking too long. If the subway's like, "Oh, we have a delay on whatever." I'm just like, "Okay, come on, guys. They're here from England. Got some people from England here. We look like idiots, guys. Come on. What the hell's going on here?" It is, it's like, we're, it's not even close. But also the architecture. The first time I went to Paris, I really thought Canada, I thought we were top shit. I thought like, you know, America's a dump for whatever reason. And then I had gone to India a bunch and, you know. So then I'm just thinking my whole life, I thought maybe I'm some kind of a prince, a Canadian prince. I'm here. It's just so nice and clean. I'm even looking out. I wish I could show you this view right here. I'm just looking at the DVP right now and like, it's gorgeous outside. I can't shoot it properly with myself because I don't know if it's because I'm brown and then the lighting, it fucks up, but it's like too bright over there, so I can't even shoot that way. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is I go to Europe, right? I go to Europe for the first time and I'm like, this place is covered in gold. It's gorgeous. Who are these people? We just met some random girls on the street in like Paris. You know, because I'm a chatty Cathy like that, I'm a friendly guy like that. Plus you're traveling, whatever, right? So we met some people in Paris and we're just like, and they're just some broke ass, like just some girls in Canada, they'd be living in a basement. You know, and it'd be fine, but they were like young, like what, you're in university? Why are you living? Dude, even they just lived in a little palace. It was just like an old, like, cause we were so into Paris that even their shitty like student housing was like, "Oh, I'm in this, this is like the old palace of whatever, I don't know." It had a plaque on the front. It's something. So rich. So rich. And what is Canada? Dude, we have basically a dick. The CN Tower is just, what a dumb. What? You go to Europe and you're like, that is disgusting. We made a dick, basically. in Canada. We made a giant cock. And the thing, and we made it to be like, we have the biggest one. We made the biggest one in the world. That's not gonna last, obviously. The Burj Khalifa now, it's so tall, it's like so much taller, and it, just in case anyone steps, the way they made the Burj Khalifa, the new tallest building in the world, the way they made it is if anyone steps and tries to make a building a little taller, they have like an extender ready to go. They got a guy with a helicopter, and there's an extension on that building, and he's just sitting in a factory, and he's just waiting for the call. He's like, okay, we got, you know, all they need to hear is like, oh, Shanghai's coming back? Shanghai's coming with a taller building? Okay, let's add the extension. And then this guy just gets in a helicopter and just drops on, bam, tallest Burj Khalifa. Honestly, Canada, what were we thinking? It's so gross. It's just like, I have a dick. It's very 80s. Is that when they made it? I don't know. But the point is, you go to Europe, and you're like, who do these people think they are? I'm prince. I am the prince. And they have all this? Like, they can just cover their shit in gold? What the fuck is Paris? I really felt like that. I was like, Paris, I thought these losers are done. I thought all this shit fucking fell, and you're done, and it's America's number one. America looks like shit. Canada looks decent because we pay our taxes. That's another thing that happened when we were young and we went to America. At first, we were always like, this is America? Ugh. We'd be like that, like, bleh. Gross, dude. Can you pay? And then someone told us, like, they don't pay taxes. And then every time we would, like, every time I would drive by something, like, I'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, no taxes. No taxes. Pay your taxes, man. Just pay tax. I mean, we're in the West, baby. Pay your taxes, get some health care. You know, treat yourself. Just get the bare minimum. America. So basically, I had America. I went to India a bunch, and like, look, India, I get. Like, India, I understand. Look, I get it. Okay, 400 years. You don't know it when you're young, and like, nobody really, nobody really teaches me this. But the first person who told me to say fuck the Brits was an Irish guy. The first person who was like, no, they, like, I didn't realize this until I was like maybe 23 or something, because I guess people don't really teach colonial history like that, because it's kind of sad, right? It is kind of sad, and it is kind of like, you're just teaching people, like, here's how awful we are. I don't know, in a weird way. And it's interesting how a lot of people will actually just rewrite their history. So a lot of people will be like, we're gonna pretend we didn't do that. Or we're gonna write that in a way that they attacked us and then we had to do it. You know what I mean? Because they wanna be like, hey, we're good people. But I guess a lot of it's just not taught because it just doesn't jive with today's morality. Because today's morality says, and this is where I'm gonna bring it back to the God make it. Today's morality kind of says, this goes back to even being in England. I'm in England. America's a dump. India's like whatever, but for good reason, you could say, because colonialism, whatever. But then I go to Europe and I'm like, what is this? Who do these people think they are? They're just gonna cover their shit and go. Where did this come from? And Luxembourg, Luxembourg, the train station was a palace. It was gorgeous. They had chandeliers in the train station. They had $1 million chandelier, just gorgeous, right? And you're there and you're like, who do these people think they are? And then you realize, you guys had slaves. Canada, I don't know, it's just a different history, I guess. Canada was a half colony, you could say. It was a half little baby of the British. The British, the darling British, like we were the, you know, we were like a darling baby boy of the British. So we didn't get treated as badly if you were part of the people that came after, not the people that were here originally, but if you're part of the people that came after, we got treated very nicely. But at the same time, we weren't like conquering and taking shit. That was all to go back to England to pay for mummy. Because mummy needs a palace. I was just thinking about that, and I was saying before that I grew up pretty conservative. And before, when I was younger, if people said, you know, they took that and we should take it back. When I was younger, I'd just be, and even now a little bit, I'm just like, the game is the game, baby. The game is the game. They took it. right? You gotta let that go, dude. It's not coming back. The game is the game, baby. You're not gonna get that back. Just move on. You know what I'm saying? Let's move on. Now that's easy for me to say in Canada, but if you're over there and you're starving, which a lot of people are, and you're over there starving, you're like, this crap, you know, if they could sell these jewels, and give us some of the money, that would make things a little bit easier, you know, or maybe make an investment, not literally just give them food, but like, you know, maybe make the investment in infrastructure, whatever. I don't know what the process is going to be. And this is another thing of the complication of it all, but it does seem like when you bring that up, almost collectively, if you think about reparations, if you think about paying some back, if you think about like the crown jewels are there, I mean, you could see it. It's there. And it even probably says in the museum, like, we took this from this place, whatever it is, like whether it's crown jewels or other shit, it probably says in the museum, like, this is from there and we took it and it's ours now. And it's part of our beautiful colonial legacy. It's a beautiful thing that we did and whatever. I mean, or we don't condone it now, but we did it, and that was the game. The game was the game, and we had to do it, whatever. But basically, and that's maybe like a liberal more viewpoint of it, but there is a conservative viewpoint of it that really does say, oh, God make it. They really have a God make it kind of mentality. And you can see it right now. There's a hard right-wing swing in the culture right now where people are just saying it. Like, I know it sounds like maybe I'm being a conspiracy theorist, but there is a right-wing movement that believes that God made us better. Like the Europeans, the white, like God made us better than you. And I just saw a video by a Canadian named Faith Goldie. And it's called Save the White Man, because they're talking a lot about white genocide. Which really is the best kind of genocide you could imagine, because white genocide is the genocide of people getting so rich that they don't want to have kids anymore, so that immigrants have to come and, you know? What an insult to even the word genocide. You know how other people got genocided, you maniacs? Other people got genocided like genocided. This genocide is like I hope if this white genocide, I hope there's a brown genocide one day. I know, and I don't mean that, I don't mean like a real one. I don't mean like a really awful real one. I'm talking about like the way these guys are talking about it, the white genocide. The white genocide is literally like, we're so rich that the women don't want to have kids anymore, because that's what women do when they get rich and they're educated. Having kids is so much work that as soon as women are educated, they're like, you know what? I'll give you one, maybe two. That's it. I'll give you one, maybe two. If we're in love, maybe three. I don't know. I have like a family friend who just had three. He's born and raised in Canada. He had three. And I was like, what are you, an immigrant? Three? I mean, three's okay, fine. If you go to four, if you're born in Canada and you go to four, I do feel it's a little bit like, what are you? Okay, cool. No, that's cool. That's really cool. That's real hipster. It's almost like people have been atheists for so long that now going to church is going to become like, oh, rock and roll, dude. Yeah, I believe in JC, dude. Rock and roll, dude. I feel like that we need that kind of comeback for kids, because right now, the white genocide is basically we're so rich that our women don't want to have kids anymore. And they keep having kids. They're going to take it. They're going to take Europe. The Muslims are taking Europe. And they keep having these kids. And the white race is going to fail, and we're going to die out. There's a bunch of people probably thinking, like, you know, Amish, why are you watching this white supremacist video? Then you're giving them oxygen. No, they have the oxygen. They have it. Okay? They have the followings. It's huge. This is how Trump got elected, because the whole time when he was getting elected, okay, the lefties were all over here like, don't look. Don't even look at that. Hey, he's crazy. What's he going to do? Don't even look. Don't even look at it. That's a good strategy for a ghost. But these right-wing maniacs, they multiply, baby. They have kids, man. And they're huge, and they took the game, basically. I mean, the Congress, the lefties brought it back on the Congress in the last election, and that was a nice little victory. And let's hope that can continue. But I do feel like we gotta be on top of this shit. We gotta see what people are saying in the culture, in the community. I mean, if I go on YouTube and I see a video that says how immigrants are destroying our country, I know a lot of you might be like, oh, I'm not gonna click on that. But listen, I feel like I need to see what the people are saying, okay? You know, I need to see what these people are saying. My parents are immigrants. What the fuck? Oh my God, there's so many dogs out. So cute. So cute. Oh my God, they're beautiful. oh my God, what a cutie boy. Ah. This is, remember I was saying the white genocide? This is it. These conservatives, they're making videos about how like, oh, they're having kids and we're getting dogs. We got another dog here. We got a gay and a lesbian and a trans, and then, oh, these guys want to get dogs. Oh, great, yeah. And the Muslims are coming. Oh, great, yeah. Yeah, no, the Muslims are taking Europe. The Muslims are taking Europe, and we got dogs, though. Okay, yeah, we're walking around with these dogs. That's what we're doing over here. This has been lovely, you know? It's such a beautiful day, and I can talk all day, though. I can talk about politics all day. And like I said, this is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. And you're probably thinking, like, what does this guy think he is? You think I'm some kind of goddamn sociopath? I'm just going to turn on a camera, and I got... Listen, first of all, the sound equipment is tight. I have sound equipment on me. It's tight. It's very good. And if you've been watching this long, look, I'm talking about some hard shit, some heavy shit, and it's been pretty funny, or else you wouldn't be here. I mean, we're 20, 30 minutes into this thing. I'm not even going to edit it. This is just kind of thoughts off the top of my head. These are just that kind of little monologues I can get into just based on my thoughts. And they are so interesting, aren't they? I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, if you don't think so, you don't have to watch it. But some of you are like, yeah, that was tight, baby. I know some of you are watching this and you're like, you know what? The laughs were there, talked about some real shit. And by the end, I pretty much almost understand it. Look, I know the tangents are a little bang, bing, bang, boom. I go off on some tangents here and there, but overall, this has been a pretty tight little bit. I was talking to a producer years ago. He was like the head of distribution for CBS or something like that. And we were just talking about media and like, you know, what I should do. Like, we're just having like one of those like mentor coffees or whatever. And you know, he's like, you know, pitch your shows. You know, I'm pitching a TV show right now and, you know, and he's like, do the stand-up, it's fun, and you get paid for it, whatever, do that, you know, and audition and try to get on TV shows, whatever. I'm acting on a kid's TV show, and I do a lot of that acting. But then he's like, but do your YouTubes. And this guy was like head of distribution, I think, at CBS for Canada. It's been years, but like, he basically was like, you got to do your YouTubes. And I remember telling him, YouTube, we don't like it. A lot of comics feel like that YouTube's is a little bit like, it's a lot of hacky people. And he's like he's a media mogul, this guy. He's been in the game for 50, 60 years. And he was like, he said, that's what they said about HBO. What I'm trying to say, guys, is that this is HBO. And I'm not talking about YouTube. YouTube's done now, I think, in a weird way. YouTube is almost like one part of the bigger thing. But if you look at what I'm doing here at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation, these videos, the Patreon, the writing, the fact that it's like you can be an investor and you invest in the corporation, and I'm the CEO of this comedy corporation, which is like kind of silly, but it's like, who does he think he is? And then I have the catchphrase for it, and I've like thought all of it out. It's basically HBO. That's what we're doing here, baby. You're gonna be entertained, because here's the thing, even when I'm pitching this TV show and we talk about these budgets and we gotta get all this funding, right? And when I think about like, okay, I gotta pitch this TV show so I can get, it's gonna cost like, I think it still costs like $300,000 per episode. Maybe I'm crazy. That might be American numbers. That might be one show. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I think it's like $300,000 per episode when you do it correctly and when you got to pay for all your locations and you don't just pick up a camera. And look at this. We can just shoot out here. It's gorgeous. Maybe it's not. Actually, now that I'm looking in the camera, it's not that great. But I'm gonna show you guys footage of shit that's so beautiful. I just walked through the farm over here. It's a beautiful darlings. It's a so much a beautiful darlings. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make, people, is that if you go to laughsoreup.com and you can become an investor, okay? Put your email address in there, okay? And that's the first step. Go to laughsoreup.com, put your name and your email address, and then from there I'll tell you when I'm doing a live stand-up comedy show, but then you'll also get an email when new videos come out and when I'm doing a sketch or a publicity stunt or some weird shit on like this stuff. But then also go to, okay, there's two types of investors, okay? There's three types of investors. There's the time investor, and that's the time investor is like someone who watches and then you share the video. Because here's the thing, as far as I'm concerned, you're watching this, we're looking at 30 minutes of entertainment here, people. You got 30 minutes and it's free, but share the video for fuck's sakes. If you watch it this long, share it and just be like, this guy's cool, he talks about like interesting shit and hilarious. Like came in off the top with the laughs, got into some dark political stuff. Seemed like a bit of a stretch at first, but he made it all work and it's actually pretty brilliant. Send it. Talked about some hard political shit. Send it. So that's the first type of investor. Second type of investor is, if you go to patreon.com/laughsitup, then you can become an investor. So if you get, we got different tiers. Like if you give a dollar, I think if you give $3, you get locked content. There's a couple of locked videos. There's a bunch of videos that I got to put on lock because it's 2019 and we got to be careful out here, babies, my darlings. We got to be careful. So there's some stuff that's going to be for investors only, and you can get a couple of locked videos like that, and they're tight little bits in there. But there's a God Make It story in there, and I'll make sure that's up soon. But there's a God Make It story where I did a God Make It, and it was a little bit immoral. And I think and I don't know, was it immoral? Not. I don't know. You guys watch that and tell me if you what you guys think. Hopefully you don't think I'm a sociopath. Maybe like I'm an ethical sociopath. You never know. That could be possible. So that's the second time. And then that's the second type of investor. And then the third type of investor, you just go to paypal.me/laughsitup. And if you go to paypal.me/laughsitup, let's just say you're sitting there, you're sitting on $1 million, right? You have $1 million. And you're like, you know what? This guy's tight. He's talking about some real shit. It's funny. You know, I mean, he opened with a catchphrase, kind of hacky, but the catchphrase had so much depth and it was so funny. You know what? Just give this guy 10, 20,000. Give it. Just give it to me. Listen, we could, and this is what I mean by this is the new HBO. If we do this and we document this journey, maybe in 6 months, 8 months, maybe there's going to be 1,000 of you. And 1,000 of you, I'll just find just different shit. You'll buy tickets to my shows and I'll sell you some shit. And it'll be a fun little project that I did, right? But maybe this blows up that this guy just made a comedy corporation. And he's got like it's just a good podcast, right? I mean, it's tight as far as podcasts go. And now he's making all this money, and it's interesting. And he did like these weird publicity stunts, and then he just goes out on the street and shoots videos and stuff like that. And then you can be like, oh, I knew that guy. That guy when he, I'm an investor in the corporation. I'm an investor in the laughs. Ah! Listen, it's, okay, look, here's the thing about being a comedian. And I just want to say this real quick about being a comedian. And remember, listen, even though we're talking about business stuff, it's all entertaining. Don't try to tell yourself that like, oh, he talked about his business for a minute, so that wasn't entertaining. Me talking, it's fun. It is, trust me. You're enjoying yourself, it's great. But we're having a chat. People, we're having a chat. I'm getting to an age now as a comedian where, you know, you have some successes and it's been good. Nobody's here anymore. Like I am, like from when I started. Everyone that is my age is either like gone, like they gave up, because either they never got funny enough or they just kind of, you know, like life, whatever, and no disrespect, I'm not dissing them or anything. But 90% of people left. And then there's like 6 or 7% of people that are doing a little better than me. And they're not famous or anything, but they're doing a little better than me. Like they're getting real work and like writing, like they're doing writing work and stuff like that. So in that sense, they're doing a little better than me, but they're working like so hard. They gotta work so, they're stressed. They don't even look beautiful like me. They look like they're 60. Man, I know one writer, every time I see them, they're like, do you know how hard I have to work? And I'm in a writing room, and people are saying, that's not good, and that's not good, and I gotta work. Dude, I'm like, dude, you're doing a monologue. We're doing a monologue right now? These writing room people, they do monologues. It's so much work. And it's not even clear, like, that you're gonna get it. It's, like, so much work to get it, to maybe get it, you know? It's like, you gotta spend 3-4 years, like, working on shit so hard. And, I mean, I'm getting there, too, you know? I might end up in a writing room. Fuck. Ugh. But the thing with a writing room is that it's just, here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say two things about being a comedian. One is, my brain is made in a way that like when I sit down to do real work, my brain is like, did you become a comedian to become an accountant? Turn it off. My brain is like, what are we doing? Oh, we're doing work now? Oh, I thought we were comedian. I thought we were a comedian because this, you've been staring at this computer for half an hour. What are you, some, oh, so we became a comedian so we can be an accountant. Turn it off. We're done here. Thank you. We're done. My brain does that to me. My brain is like, why are we doing this? You know, my brain is like, you're so funny. Just turn on the camera and fucking talk, dude. These shows cost $300,000 to make. Look at this. We're 45 minutes in. I'm not even going to edit this. Anyway, no, my brain is very like, well, oh, we're going to do work. You know what I mean? So it's hard to do work. But also, it's so hard to work when you love yourself as much as I do. Try loving yourself as much as I do and then go make $1 million. It's impossible. I mean, I can be happy with nothing. I've had to go back to serving jobs like 3 times, and every time it's always like a 6 month, like, I don't want to do it. Or not serving jobs, but I've had to go back to jobs like 3 times, and every time I do it, I'm like, no, don't do it. But every time I go, I end up having so much fun. I just feel like the king of the 25-year-olds. I still look like, oh, they just think I'm a couple of years older, and I can just go and be the king of the 25-year-olds. And then my life is like a little rom-com. It's like I'm Empire Records, but I'm just working at, oh, I'm working at Jack Astor's for 6 months, for like 2 years or whatever. Not 2 years, but I always end up doing like a year and a half at all these jobs here and there, you know? And once we set up this corporation, once I get the Patreon done, the mailing list done, we'll get some stuff going, and then I might have to maybe take a job like that. I just want to get this done, because I just came off of this kid's TV show. And when I say just came off, it's been a little while, but, you know, make an investment if you enjoyed it. Or just join the mailing list, you know what I'm saying, my darlings? And when I say I love myself, I don't mean I love myself in a way that I think I'm better than anyone. I love you too, baby. God is great, my darlings. God is great. And that's a big part of the message that you're going to get here. I'm very positive. I'm very positive. Okay, my darlings, the video cut there. The video cut there, but we are a good 40 minutes in, and I think I'm just going to call this episode here, my darlings. We covered a lot. There might have been a lot of repeat, might have been a little ranty, but you know what? Maybe we should just do a quick recap. And I know it's listen, it might feel like a little repetitive, but at the same time, here's what you got to understand, okay? In that, there are so many bits come out of that. So many bits come out of that. Like the whole thing of like just the CN Tower just being a giant cock in the sky. That's, I mean, right now I think it's funny. Is it funny for stage funny? No, you know, and I save my best bits for when you guys come see me live on stage. But is it funny for podcasts? It's a funny little interesting little thought. Great. Put it out there, my darlings, because this is the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation, and we have to put out content to drive the laughter up in the culture, in the community, and to bring that outrage down and to ensure that profits are through the roof. That really is the corporate mandate here. And I was shooting in Cabbage Town today. Cabbage Town is a conservative nightmare. And I was already talking about this. Cabbage Town is like so hippy dippy. The new barns they opened up is gorgeous. Beautiful new little pathway they made. But it was a conservative nightmare. For the amount of people there, not a lot of kids. A lot of dogs. Not a lot of kids. But I just wanted to say, the kids that were there, just the kind of kids that make you go, so cute. Such a cutie boy. Oh my God, this one cutie boy that we saw. When I say we, the kid was so cute that me and another woman that don't even know each other, we both saw him and we were like, he's so cute. And the reason why the kid was so cute, and this is what I mean by like, dude, okay, we're not having a lot of kids here, but the kids we are having, people are just paying attention to them. And it was just such a downtown thing to do, such a white thing to do, where they took their kid, and I see this a lot downtown, where like the kids, they're such cutie boys, like they're dressed so well. I get my sisters do this too with their kids. This kid though, I saw, they dressed him up like James Dean. It was adorable. He's like 7 years old. And he's full dressed like James Dean. So he's got ripped jeans, ripped blue jeans. His hair is like this like slick back, like bad boy rock and roll hair. He has a fake cigarette. Which part of me is like, okay, you're teaching your kid to smoke. But part of me is like, they completed the look. It was so cute. And then here's the most cutie boy thing I've ever seen in my life. This kid's 7 and he's wearing that, you know, those white muscle t-shirts. He's wearing that white muscle t-shirt, but he rolled up the sleeves. He rolled up the sleeves to show his little 8-year-old biceps. That's so cute. That's cute. Honestly, Cabbage Town, you're a bunch of conservative nightmares over there. A bunch of hippie dippies over there. I got into just random conversations with people, and just everyone looked like they worked in the government. Just everyone looked like they could have been on Portlandia. Every little conversation I had, everyone looked like they could have worked in, they could have be characters on Portlandia. That's what Cabbage Town felt like a little bit today. It was so cute. But I like it. I like this downtown culture. It's a beautiful culture. It's a beautiful community. Let's stop it with all this conservatism. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's the video today. Thank you guys so much for watching. I got the next podcast. I'm going to talk about this Candace Owens thing. Where she went in. Ah, they're so good at these right-wing maniacs. She basically set up an outrage little generator. She did this thing. And I should explain who she is real quick, and I'll explain more in the next episode. But she's basically the person who got Kanye to wear the Make America Great Again hat. She's the mastermind behind that. She's an outrage genius. She's an outrage master. She knows how to get the people riled up. And she's bringing the heat for the right-wing team, and she's getting a lot of black people, and I guess POC. But I think it's more black people into the Republican Party. And I want to talk about that more. And I have another video about it already, but I want to talk about it more because as a brown person who grew up kind of conservative, there's always been people trying to offer me conservative jobs because there's nothing they want more than a brown guy who says Muslims are terrorists or something like that. You know what I'm saying? People think the left has affirmative action. Okay, look, these right-wing people, if you're POC and you're down to just say Muslims are terrorists, you could be on Fox News in the 6 months. You could be on Fox News in 6 months. And forget about Fox News. Online, people will just get into your shit. They love it, dude. My darlings. They love it, my darlings. And listen, this is all stuff that the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation is going to do deeper and deeper dives into. Because that's why I want to make sure we have this long-form channel so that we can have a chat. And we can talk about the culture and we can talk about the community, my darlings. We have to talk about the community. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you share this with a friend. You know, especially if it's the kind of friend who likes just to talk some shit about politics, make sure you send it to them. Sharing is huge. Need that, especially if they're into politics, especially if they're in the media, something like that. Sharing is huge, but also subscribe. And listen, if you want to throw some money at me, patreon.com/laughsareup, paypal.me/laughsareup. A lot of great investment opportunities into the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. But if you just want to invest your time, that's great too. Just, if you could share it, that'd be great. Okay? All right. I love you and God is great. Okay? God is great.